Pedder's new world-first vehicle weight matrix software. Know your weight at pedders.com.au.
Yes, good morning, Melbourne. Welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends for the last time of the year. It's Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Joey, our last show of the year. It's been a great year. Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Jay. Morning, Rosie. And unfortunately, Hello. You can't finish the last show with them. What a beautiful Melbourne day it is today, because it's a bit dreary and overcast.
Shocking.
You love talking about the weather.
I do.
Hasn't it been pretty ordinary?
Well, it's every Saturday morning, it feels like it's been a glorious day.
It has, for a lot of the Saturdays.
Fair to say, today has let us down. It is our last show of the year, and it's going to be an absolute crack. We got Mark Hayes coming up next, going to talk some golf, and a lot happening too, Joey.
Because Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are playing, as we speak, $9 million of their own money head-to-head. So they're having side bets on holes, closest to the pin, putts. Fascinating. It's amazing, Rosie.
Really?
They are playing for $9 million of their own money.
Wow.
I think they're going to their own foundations, but we'll get the latest on how that's going and who's looking like going to pocket all that money.
The Essendon recruiting chief, Adrian Dodoro, coming up just after 10:30. We're going to speak to the Australian wicket-keeping great Brad Hatton. Lots happening in cricket, the Test Series just around the corner. The former Carlton key defender, Sam Rowe, coming in, Joey, to talk all things footy, of course, and Movember. But last night, Joey, am I right in thinking you made your Lawn Bowls commentary debut?
Yes, I did.
Lawn Bowls, Joey.
It's a loose term. Lawn Bowls. Well, actually, it came about from this show, hearing my stories about my debut as a lawn bowler at the Port Melbourne Bowls Club.
Grand
finalist in my first season. And Bowls Victoria got in touch with me and asked, look, we've got the Victorian Open at Shepparton Bowls Club in November. Would you like to be a bit of a special guest commentator? And I thought, well, I'm on a bit of time off at the moment. So I went down there and spent the day and called the women's pairs, the men's pairs final and the men's and women's singles finals. And
just give us a taste, Joey. Just give us a highlight. Just give us a little clip of some of your best lawn bowls work.
There's not a lot to it. Nice weight, nice line. He's going to touch the jack. It's a beautiful roll, and he's one shot up, four ends down.
Oh, I love it, Joey. Oh, I love it. I want a bit more of that throughout the show. And it's a voting day, of course, the election. Have you voted already, gang? Have we done that?
Yes, did it during the week. Yep. Smart. I got mine done early in the week, so in and out straight away.
Rosie?
Same, but I have a give me a spell for later on.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I think I know what it is. Hey, Joey, I'm into the golf.
Have you voted?
I voted. Well,
you've done? Already done?
Yep.
So people in the car listening this morning, make sure you vote.
Yeah. You've got till 6, but do it.
Yeah.
It's annoying, isn't it?
No. Yeah.
Driving into the studio this morning, I did go past an election line. Didn't look like a lot of fun. Poor people. 50 metres long. It's a long wait in. It takes an hour. You've got to get it out of the way earlier in the week.
A lot of wasted paper too, with everyone handing out the pamphlets.
Give them back to the people at the front of the school.
Yep.
Hey, Joey, next we're going to speak to Mark Hayes, of course, Golf Australia media manager. We're going to ask him for his tip. Who's going to win out of Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods? We'll get a score update from you as well. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna for the last time this year on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Okay, we're very lucky to have this great man joining us next, legend of the Herald Sun, now media manager of Golf Australia. Good morning to you, Mark Hayes.
Good morning, Jay. That's about, what, $100 I earned already?
we love you, mate. Hey, I was out there at the Metropolitan Golf Course, the World Cup of Golf, of course, on Thursday. My mate got sunburnt, beautiful conditions, but it's fair to say yesterday, much, much tougher for the players.
I'm having trouble, Jay, convincing some of the players here who've come from all corners of the globe that this is our summer and it's much better than this normally. That was one of the hardest days of golf ever yesterday that many of these guys have played. The poor old Greeks shot an 87, 3 triple bogeys on the back nine alone, and it was brutal weather out here, as it was mostly around the state. So, it was pretty rugged going for some of the international visitors.
Hopefully the wind dies down a little bit, although it's not looking great out our window. Now, the Belgians are currently tied with the Koreans. So, Belgians, Thomas Peters and Thomas Dietrich. I followed them around on Thursday. Not a lot of people there, it's fair to say, Hazy, but they hit the ball sweetly yesterday.
Yeah, Thomas Peters is an enormous striker of the ball, Jay, as you're probably aware now. And Thomas Dietrich will... chuck him in your little black book. He's going to be a star in the making. So it's no surprise to see Belgium at the top, nor Korea for that matter. Two really world-class players. I mean, they were off Broadway a little bit the first couple of days when they were not with the Australians, but they'll have big crowds around them at the weekend because they just play so beautifully. And today's format, the four ball, just lends to attacking golf, and I'm sure we'll see the best of them again.
And you speak about attacking golf today, Mark. Yesterday, as you said, was a tough day, particularly for our Aussies. Cam Smith and Mark Leishman just couldn't quite... get a bit of a flow going, but you're hoping they can bounce back today. Only 4 shots off the lead, so they're certainly still in contention.
They were in trouble yesterday, Joey, early. They were in big trouble. A couple of double bogeys, a three-putt double bogey on the sixth, and then another double bogey. Leash left one in the trap on 10. And they were looking down the barrel, and then they fired three birdies in the worst of the conditions on the back nine to really get themselves back in it. Four shots can come and go in a heartbeat in the format they're playing today, and particularly tomorrow, the foursome. So I think they're pretty happy with where they stand at the halfway mark.
Mark, have you kept an eye on the Hong Kong Open? Because the reason why I asked, Marcus Fraser is playing in a tournament over there. I'm not sure how he went, but did you know if he made the cut over there?
Oh, I'll search for it now, mate, as we look. If you keep asking me another question, by the time you come back to Orlando.
The reason why I asked that is because a good mate of mine, Brendan Goddard, is actually caddying for Marcus Fraser in this tournament. So
Would he be a good caddy, BJ?
I think he would be. He knows his golf back to front, and he's really excited about it. As we know, he didn't get picked up in the draft or the rookie draft yesterday. So, BJ,
he's looking caddying.
He does need a bit of work now, Rosie, it's fair to say. So I'm not sure how Marcus – I want to know how BJ went as a caddy. Did he get Marcus to make the cut?
Let's have a look at him here. There could not be a bigger golf nerd in the world than BJ Goddard.
Yeah.
He shot 72-71 to sit at three over the card.
That wouldn't have made the cut.
I'm pretty sure that, that's missed
the cut. So there you go. So BJ's debut was a caddy. Couldn't get Marcus Fraser to make the cut, so he's probably on his way home. He needed a payday, BJ. I think if Marcus Fraser finished top five, he was going to give BJ a little sling.
And what's happening in the Phil versus Tiger match, Joe? Have you been keeping an eye on that? Hazy, why are you so against this concept? Because I love these two big boys putting their own cold, hard cash on the line, Mark.
Cold. If it was their cash, Jay, I would be all over it. This is one of the most greedy, naive, narcissistic, self-serving ever in the world of sport. And that two of the greatest Americans can't get their ass down to Melbourne to play in the World Cup of Golf, but can walk away from their Thanksgiving turkey to play for $9 million is a disgrace.
Well, that is a strong commentary there, Mark. I like the sort of the head-to-head part of it, you know, like, and it would move the needle, isn't it? Because a lot of people would be watching this, Joey.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of trash talk. So they've got their mic'd up, which I like the concept of. There's a little bit of trash talk and they're putting side bets on. So they're having a bet closest to the pin. And if one of them could eagle a par four, there was $1 million on the line. But you're right, though. We'd like to see these golfers playing in the big tournaments and particularly coming down to Melbourne, Mark.
I love the concept of match play and I love whippy action on golf courses and all around the world. And I love playing for money and all that sort of stuff. But seriously, Peter Thompson would be turning in his grave that the World Cup was on in his hometown and the two biggest, you know, names arguably in world golf in the last 20 years deemed it not worthy of making a visit to courses they both love and they're going to play in Las Vegas. It really sickens me. I'm sorry to tell you that.
I like your strong thoughts, Azy. How are we going to be keeping an eye on, of course, World Cup of Golf? Belgium's currently tied in the lead with the Koreans. We're all cheering our boys, the Aussies, Leash and Cam Smith. Hazy, thanks so much for joining us this morning, mate. Hopefully the weekend goes magnificently.
Cheers, Jay. Appreciate it, mate.
I understand, Mark. Obviously, Golf Australia is a bit flat that the boys aren't out here. But to be fair, $9 million, Rosie, I'd probably stay in Vegas and play in a head-to-head match as well. I didn't want to say that with Marcus Mark on the line, sorry. But $9 million head-to-head, I'd probably stay and play for that too.
Should we have a shootout one day over summer?
Let's do that. How much we'll play for a bottle of red that actually you've just paid me back.
Yes.
Finally, you gave me my two bottles of red for Paddy Cripps finishing higher in the Brownlow than Gaff. Maybe we can play for a couple of bottles of red on the golf course.
Gaff would have won that had he not roundhoused the bloke. So I think it's a victory for me. Hey, we're going to be talking some AFL draft next. You were unsure whether the Saints should take a big key forward this time last week. We'll get your thoughts on their move on 204-centimetre Max King. More footy chat next. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Last show for the year, and it's going to be an absolute beauty. We're going to talk some AFL draft, Joe. Did you watch it on Thursday night? Were you glued to the TV? What did you think of it as a sort of a spectacle?
Look, a bit slow? It is a bit slow. It's hard. I think what's happening now is the journalists, you guys, and particularly you, Jay, in the Herald Sun, you guys are so good at knowing.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Getting the top 10, top first round draft picks in order. Pretty much spot on, I think, the last 5 or 6 years. So it takes away any real surprises. So it is pretty predictable, the first round in particular. And then following on from that in the later picks, we don't really know a lot about most of the other kids that do get drafted. So I like the idea they're trying things. Yep. I'm all for that. I think the live trading added a nice element and it'll continue to evolve, but it's still a fair way to go if it wants to be anything like the NFL draft.
Well, that's the thing. The AFL wants to bring in that fan engagement, get some club supporters there and create a bit of electricity and atmosphere in the room. Whether we'll ever get to that NFL style, I'm not sure, but they've somehow got to generate a bit more atmosphere, that's for sure. Maybe not just the families, but get some supporters in there as well. What did you think about, I reckon the big story out of this was the Carlton-Adelaide move, and if you're a Carlton fan, I just wonder whether you shift in your seat uncomfortably. In a nutshell, Carlton and Adelaide swapped first-round picks next year, so as that this year, Carlton could get Adelaide's pick number 19. They took 183-centimetre midfielder Liam Stocker, who they rated, I think, 7 or 8. So they really like this kid. But what it does is it means that if Carlton finish, where Carlton going to finish
bottom
next year?
Two. They're still probably going to be bottom two next year. So let's say it's pick 1 or 2 they would have had.
So next year, Carlton give away, say, pick 2 for Adelaide. We think they'll be
I think Adelaide will be back in the top 6. Yeah, they'll bounce back, certainly. So that might be a pick in the teens, pick 14, something like that.
Are you nervous for the Blues?
So like Carlton have given up pick 1 or 2 next year and given Adelaide that pick and they'll get Adelaide's, let's say, pick 14 to be able to get that extra number 19 to get Liam Stocker.
So it's Carlton putting all their chips in for this next year, saying that we need to go up the ladder in 2019. I don't think they want any more of those high draft picks. They've got 5 number 1 picks already. It's chips in from Brennan Bolton and I don't mind it, but it's very bold because, it, as you say, this time next year, that could be pick 3 or 2 in the draft.
I don't mind it. I like the boldness of clubs trying something. And look, they've got their 2 men. They've got Liam Stocker and they've got Sam Walsh this year.
Yep.
And I think there's enough avenues going forward with salary cap and trades and free agency that they worry about next year's draft next year.
Yep.
Let's do it now. They wanted Stocker. They get an inside mid. They get Sam Walsh. Now, as you said, they can start to build their team, build up, work up the ladder. And who knows? They might be happy to not have a pick 1 or 2 because they might want to be able to trade in a couple of superstars. So worry about it then. But I like the move from Carlton.
Saints at pick number 4 took your boy Max King, 204-centimetre key forward. They've already got a few key forwards, Joey. You were unsure about this move. Are you feeling any more comfortable about it?
I was unsure. Now I love it. Go the Saints. Max King, the future of the football club. Look, I have said on the record, and I was on the show last week, skeptical about these tall key forwards that get picked up in the first round because history, and I'm just going by history, says that not a lot of them actually come on to be these A-grade elite talent. I think Charlie Curnow's probably one in the last few years that really has.
Yep.
But as we said, some names like Shacky and Wiedering was a forward when he got drafted, Peter Wright, Tom Boyd, Cam McCarthy, even Paddy McCartan, who's still coming along and still will be a good player. But it's a bit nerve-wracking, but hopefully Max King, he was touted as a potential number one pick. There's a lot of hype on him now, a lot of hope, and there is even a little whisper, and it's certainly not confirmed, but there might just be a sniff that he might actually be given number 12, the famous Nick Riewoldt number that was been in retirement.
Rui's jumper.
Possibly. We'll have to wait and see there, but if that is the case... Well, someone's got to take number 12 at some stage. They don't want it hanging in the rafters forever. So, you know what? If we're going to put all the hope on Max King, maybe number 12 might be his and he can do what Nick Riewoldt did for the football club for 15 years and maybe even take the club one step further and get that premiership that Rui got us so close to.
And your man, Hunter Clark's got your jumper, the 11?
Number 11, happy with that. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. He's going quite nicely. But no, it's a good draft, good pick up for most clubs.
And Hawthorn, so this is interesting too. So we're going to speak to Adrian Dodoro next, but they were entitled to take little Irving Mosquito. Instead, they passed on him and took Cozzy's cousin, Jacob Kaczynski. So he's a big key back, 196 centimetres, who could play straight away. Now, that's a smart move, I think, from the Hawks when James Frawley is probably getting to the end of his career.
Absolutely. I think that's a replacement for James Frawley, and good luck to another Cozzy.
We're going to speak to Adrian Dodoro, the Essendon recruiting king, about Irving Mosquito. Some more speed, some more electricity, excitement in that Essendon forward line next. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Yes, Joey.
Are we going to get to Red Hot Chili Peppers, your dilemma last week? I believe now you might have tickets.
Yeah, there's a problem, though. There's an issue. We'll talk about it later.
I don't think Adrian cares about your situation with Chili Peppers.
Because we've got the premiership guru himself, Essendon list boss, Adrian Dodoro. Good morning to you, Adrian.
Good morning. How are you?
Do you like the Chili Peppers, mate?
love them. Who are they? Who are they?
Just one of the greatest rock bands of all time. Hey, congrats, Adrian, on the whole Essendon postseason, because made some fantastic moves last year. Followed that up again in this year's trade period with Dylan Shiel, of course. And yesterday at the draft, you pulled another surprise move, landing at pick 38, Irving Mosquito. He was a Hawthorn Academy player. We all thought he'd be wearing brown and gold, but you picked him at 38. Tell us why.
Oh, because we like him. We think he's going to be a terrific player, and he suited what we wanted, and we thought, well, why not? We did the work, and under the rules, you're entitled to bid for these guys. And yeah, as I said yesterday, the cards fell away, and we were really happy that we got him.
So tell us about his attributes. He was a late developer for Gippsland Power, but he brings a hell of a lot of speed and excitement to the forward line.
Oh, he's got talent, and that's the bottom line is when you go into national drafts, you're trying to find boys that have got talent, and this boy just oozes talent. We know it's going to take a bit of time, so we'll take a really patient road with him, and he's eager to get stuck into it, obviously, as all the kids are, but he sees the game as good as anyone. You know, his defensive pressure will be elite. His goal sense is excellent. He's actually a very, very good 400-metre runner and speed to burn. He just needs to be developed. Everyone's got a different pathway when they're coming into the system, and you know, he'll take a bit of time. He's year 11 this year. Grew up barrack for the Bombers also, so no, it's exciting.
Adrian, there's been a lot of talk about the draft format this year, obviously over the 2 days, the live trading. How did you, from a club perspective, see the whole event, and where do you think it can improve and can get to as a spectacle for the fans?
Yeah, it was different. I'm not quite sure about spectacle for the fans. We're sort of engrossed in what we're doing, and it was a little bit different for us because we'd have had a first round draft pick next year, so it eliminated us from a lot of the trade. So maybe that's something that we could look at. I just think there's a little bit of a restriction on what you can and can't do. I think the club should have the autonomy to basically, if they want to trade the future pick or maybe even 2 years in advance, they should be allowed to do it. And I think, you know, that's something that we can look at. So less restrictions. I think it's a great innovation, and I think it'll only get better over the years.
I like that behind the scenes, Joey, while we're looking at the club with the pick, behind the scenes, all the clubs had phones in their rooms. So there was a lot of chat between all the clubs. You know, do you want to swap pick 21? No, right, they'd go on to the next club. So there was a fair bit of that happening behind the scenes. Tell us about Tom Jock, Adrian, because he is a key defender, played at Collingwood's VFL team. He's trained at St Kilda recently, I think, Joey. So I thought he was headed to the Saints. Tell us why you picked up Tommy Jock.
Picked him up. We've actually spoken to him over the last couple of years, and it's been a delight to see the way a young man has just kept taking the setbacks of not being drafted and working hard. This year for Collingwood in the VFL, actually played a terrific game against us in the VFL finals, and he's an elite runner. He can run exceptional. He'll probably come to our club, and he'll probably run as good as Paddy Ambrose does, who is our best runner.
Wow. But
He can play wing, he can play back, he can play forward, and he just jumps. He's got a huge vertical leap. So he's one of those blokes that you could play a number of positions and then pinch in the ruck. He's a terrific young man, great attitude. And look, again, he'll be given the opportunity to develop, and hopefully he can play league footy.
So what happens now, Adrian? You've got a nice bottle of red, you've had two great trade periods, you've got the blokes you wanted in the draft. Now, do you sort of have a little Shiraz last night or something nice just to sort of toast the your own post-season work?
No, mate, my spies were watching a soccer game last Sunday down at Port Melbourne.
Right.
So I'll be editing that today to see whether I can find alternative talent player.
Yeah, that was me, and I was horrible. It's fair to say. And lastly, Adrian, what do you think about the bloke sitting next to me? So am I right in thinking you had a little dabble at the St Kilda great Lee Montagna at some point in his magnificent career?
He just used us to keep pumping his price up.
Yeah. I still owe you a bottle of red for that, Adrian. Thank you. I just got a bit more money out of the club for that. Thank you.
I think on three occasions, actually.
Yeah. So he owes us. Great of the St Kilda Footy Club. Joey could have been wearing it red and black. Hey, Adrian, congratulations on everything you've done over the past 2 years. It's going to be a massive year for the Bombers. Joey, where you got Essendon?
Top four. Yep. Yeah, the expectation's there now. Adrian and his team have done a terrific job. I think their list is primed, and now it's up to the on-field work, Adrian, to finish off all your good work. So good luck for the season, mate.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it, mate.
Pressure on Musha to deliver. Capitalise on this fantastic list that Essendon has got.
They really are, though. They're in the window, aren't they now? I mean, even this year, as Adrian just said, they've probably taken a few more speculative picks with Irving Mosquito and Tom Jock because I think they're cherry ripe right now. They've got enough young talent, enough senior players, a great spine with their key position players that, this is their time in the next year or two.
Haven't won a final since 2004. Fair to say the Bombers are due. We're going to change pace next, Joe. We're going to speak to Brad Haddon about Willow Talk, the new Triple M cricket show coming up, and the massive Australian summer that the Aussies are facing. With a new look team, it's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and the 287 game St Kilda star Lee Montagna. What we actually need to...
I'd like to be referred to now as the four-game bowls Port Melbourne current grand final...
Now that we are tight mates, is it fair to say that at the start of the year when we started doing this and I kept saying 278 gamer that you were a little bit flat?
No, not really. Just thought you were a bit dyslexic. That's all. That's all right. No,
just a slight little correction.
Now, yeah, exactly right.
Hey, you know how it was sort of my job to get the Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Hang on. Back up.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, you know how much I love...
The dilemma from last week.
Yeah, I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers. In a nutshell, when they're coming out to Melbourne, March 2.
You camped out as a kid or something to get tickets.
Yeah,
you're a fanatic.
I'm a fanatic. All that. Posters on the wall. Absolutely love them. Anyway, so one of my good mates is having his wedding in Byron Bay on the same weekend. Bit of a setback, but otherwise we can overcome that.
You were willing to not go to the wedding at one point.
No,
or was that
never,
me saying that you should never.
He said if he was a good mate, he'd understand you didn't have to go to the wedding to go to Chili Peppers.
This is a stitch up. He'll probably be listening, of course. And of course, I'm going to the wedding. I can't wait for it. It's going to be fantastic. I thought, right, we'll go to another show. The Brisbane show. I'm going to be up in Queensland that week anyway. I got my mate Spence. He's going to come with us, but it was my job to get the tickets. I went through the pre-sale, through the fan club, etc.
Now, so fan club?
Yeah, all that. I'm committed, Rosie.
Wow.
So what we needed is like two general admin tickets because you don't want to be seating back, sort of sitting on your seat.
You need to be at the front.
You need to be right at the front, right in the mixer. That's where we wanted to be. However, when I was, there was a crush for tickets. I'm like, it's 10 minutes in. I still can't get through. They're saying allocation is exhausted. I'm like, my heart rate's 180. I'm going to miss out on these tickets. This is an absolute disaster. And so what I do, instead of trying to get two general admin tickets, I panicked and made the mistake of I'll just try and get one. And then I can go back and get another one.
Uh-huh.
Big error.
You knew in the back of your mind. As long as I've got one, then I'll worry about the rest. That's
okay, well, so you're in jeopardy of ruining somebody else's marriage, your marriage, and now another friendship.
A couple of friendships are on the line here. So I got my one general admin ticket, and then I try and get back through the portal to get another one ticket, and it's saying, no, it's sold out.
Allocation exhausted.
So what do I do in that moment? I then go and try and get one ticket back in a seat. And unfortunately...
No, you can't do that.
I got that. So at the moment, I got two Chili Peppers tickets, one general admin, and the other one, a seat back up in the bleachers.
Was this just the pre-sale? Is it they're not normal tickets going on sale this week?
Yes, and they're going on sale on Monday, but I still don't trust the fact that I'm going to be able to get another GA ticket. So at the moment...
Of course you will.
We've got one GA ticket and one set. And so who takes what? What are we going to do? How are we going to work that out, Joey? Who's in the mixer?
Well, I've got no idea. What are you going to do there?
You're stunned that I panicked under pressure.
I am. That also makes sense because I was laughing at you last week when you weren't going to Chili Peppers and my mum said she was going to get me tickets for Christmas because she could get the access to the pre-sales,
the Amex deal.
Did she?
No, she didn't get them. She goes, sorry, I didn't realise how quick they'd go. I said, Mum, what did you think? Mum just thought like that she was like some VIP that could just log on and say, I don't have tickets anyway. Yeah. So I was laughing at you. I don't know. Well,
it is a Triple M Presents, so you could probably ring up Fitzy and go, hey, I'm going to be in Brisbane. Can you get me a GA?
Will there be another little sort of intimate side gig like we did for The Killers with 300 people? Is there any chance of that?
Get onto it. Yeah, no worries. Whatever you want.
Hopefully. Anyway, so look, we're going to have to, I'm not sure, I'm going to have to jump a barricade or somehow get
in
the
GA. But at least you'll be there. That's the most important.
We're going. That was the important
you're going, whether you sit together or one of you wave, take it in turns, but all good.
Fair to say my mate Spence wasn't thrilled with the way it worked out. Anyway, hey, we've got a massive second hour of the show. It is our last show for the year, Joey. We got Sam Rowe, former Carlton defender, coming up, and Geelong's next ruckman going to join us on the line. Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends on a bit of a gloomy old Saturday morning, Joey. We need the sun to break through the clouds.
For our afternoon drinks, is that why?
Yes.
For our breakup, Rosie.
Where are we going?
We're going down to the Clarendon.
Yep.
They're putting on lunch for us.
Oh, don't
for
tell our... everyone, they'll yep. flock.
Oh, the... all yeah. our fans will be at the front.
Give us a spell. There's Jay Clark and Lee Montagna with you and for the next hour. We've got a special treat here, Joey, of course, because we've got in the studio with us the former Carlton defender, played 99. Games for the Blues. He would have thought he could have just snuck in one more, the coach, to get you to 100. Good morning to you, Sammy Rowe.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Joey. Thanks for having me.
Were you a bit flat then at 99? You sort of think, just couldn't give me one more game, you blokes?
Look, it would have been handy, wouldn't it? And Bolts did drop me late for one game, so thanks, Bolter.
Heartbreaker. Hey, you're here for Movember, of course, changing the face of men's health. You've come in with a nice little moustache, Sammy, but it's fair to say it's not the full bushy version. You've struggled over the month to get a decent yeah. mo happening, haven't you?
Yeah, nice is one way to put it. It's suspect, I guess, being 20-odd days into November, but... look, yeah, I am here as an ambassador for Movember, supporting the great work that the Movember do for men's health. Obviously, pushing the message of looking after your mates, looking after the men in your life. You know, checking yourself as a bloke, you need to check your own health, and if you feel like there's something wrong, you just need to get it checked.
And of course, you've got your own story there that you want to share and why you're part of being an ambassador for Movember.
Of course. So I had my testicular cancer in my first year of footy at Carlton in 2012. So being through that, you get certainly appreciation of what it's like to, you know, have some illness, and you see a lot of people that struggle. So certainly experiencing that myself, you want to help. So I see Movember as probably the best way I can help, and hopefully the message of Movember and helping out your mate, we can, you know, together we can, you know, we can make change in men's health.
Do you remember the shock of the moment, Sammy? I mean, you must, when it first all came to light, it must have been an unforgettable moment.
Oh, look, it was. I remember the club doctor, I was at the supermarket getting some stuff for dinner, and the club doctor rang me and said, oh, you need to come in to see me straight away. And I was like, oh, look, mate, I'll come in tomorrow. He goes, no, Sammy, you need to come in now to see me. So I remember it was a real daze. So the next couple of hours, I was, you know, not in this world, really. But look, it's always a shock to start with. But I was lucky. I had really good people around me. My now wife was there, and the support of the footy club and my family, that's what enables you to get through those periods. So in terms of the support, I was really lucky. The footy club especially was fantastic. I was a new bloke at the club. I'd only been there a few months, and I can't thank the club and the people around me enough in those times.
And that, Sammy, I'm not overstating this, the fact that you're actually able to come back and not just only get your own health in order, but then to come back and play footy at the top level is an absolute credit to you, mate. And I remember at the time when you did come back, I think anyone who had an interest in footy was just so happy for you, mate. And the effort clearly you put in to get back into shape probably, you know, was incredible.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Look, I think all these things, that they teach you lessons. And footy teaches you lessons in life, and, you know, illness or, you know, adversity or whatever it is, teach you things. And it certainly taught me determination. It taught me what I wanted out of life. I wanted to succeed in footy, and it made me more determined, I guess. It created more of a drive to try and make something of it.
Yeah, well, you're certainly a very solid player for the Blues. Probably held up the back line, I'd say. You and Liam Jones. Sammy, hey, next we're going to talk a bit about the Blues, where you think they're at and how they're going to go in season 2009, because it's a very important year for the Carlton Football Club. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna. More next from Sammy Rowe on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. What a tune, Time of Your Life. Green Day on Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. And we got the former Carlton defender, Sammy Rowe, in for the next few minutes. Sammy, it's obviously been a patient build-up for Carlton. They've invested a lot in young talent. Brennan Bolton's there doing a good job trying to develop these young guys. But do you feel that 2019 is the year that Carlton's got to make some traction up the ladder?
Yeah, look, I think as a club you would expect that there has to be some, you know, some success coming, or some wins coming.
It's,
I think the players certainly want it. I think the coaches and the club, they want to start to win some games. So I think that's the way they've designed the last few years. They're setting themselves to start to win some games of footy now.
What's the point of difference? What do they do really well at Carlton? What gives you so much confidence that these young guys are going to start to develop into AFL stars?
Oh, look, the one thing that I think Carlton do have,
yep,
there's good people. So I think majority of people are, they're good people. They want everyone else to succeed. So I see that as the critical thing in a footy club. Like, I mean, everyone's going to have enough coaches. There's going to be enough talent there. There's going to be enough there. You just need the right people to push them and guide them in a way that, you know, they're going to drive these blokes to get the most out of themselves. And I think they do have that mix right.
And now yourself, Sammy, no longer in the AFL system, mate. Let me tell you, first of all, it's not that bad. Life on the other side is pretty good. The midweek beers, Friday after work drinks, you get to look forward to. You can eat whatever you like now. You don't have to feel guilty about eating a chicken schnitzel or parmigiana.
Or three.
Or gnocchi. Or whatever you like. You get to exercise whenever you want, mate. You can pick and choose. What's life going to be like for you? You started work. Are you going to play any football anywhere? What have you got in store for the next 12 months?
Yeah, so look, I have started work. I'm a builder by trade, but I've started working for Johns Lyng Group, who are an insurance builder. I've been doing some work with them for the last couple of years, but I've just taken on an operations role with them, so managing one of their businesses. So it's been a different challenge the first couple of weeks. I was interviewing staff yesterday. I've been dealing with a few tiers of right, my staff already. So look, it's been a good challenge, but I'll also have a bit of a kick at East Doncaster. My good mate Simon White played there last year, so looking forward to that. I did roll out to day one of pre-season with them on Monday.
Did you really? Straight into it? God.
Which How's was, that, mate?
It was different. We literally had a kick for about 20 minutes. And thanks very much, boys. There's a couple of beers in the shed here if you like.
That's a way to do it.
And how did that suit you?
So, look, that was fantastic. It was a good change.
Yeah.
Suits you a bit better?
Yeah, it does.
Are you going to play? Would you like to play forward, or are you going to stay back? Like, you've been chasing other blokes around for a long time, Sammy. This is your time to shine as a key forward and just snag goals.
And that's pretty much the message I pushed with them. I think I won't leave the 50 very often. Yeah. I won't be rolling up so much to get in. Yeah. There won't be so much forward defensive pressure coming from my end. I think just get it into me and I'll see what I can do.
No GPS on your back. It's
no behind
the
goals vision either. Local footy, mate.
Sammy, thanks so much for joining us, mate. Recapping, of course, doing some great work for Movember, and you're telling all the guys out there just occasionally have a check once a month or so.
Yeah, exactly. That's the message. Look, keep on top of your health. We're not invincible as blokes. Look after your mates. Look after all the blokes in your life. And if you can, donate to Movember, because the programs that they do, they're fantastic. They look after blokes.
Movember.com.au. Sammy, thanks so much for joining us. Are you going to do any coaching or anything like that? Does that interest you?
Look, not particularly, no. Yep. I think I'll spend my time at work and just enjoy having a kick with footy.
Yeah, well, 99 games for Carlton. Well done to you for that, mate, and everything you're doing for the Movember cause. We're going to be talking more draft soon, Joey. We got Darcy Fort. The Cats have landed a 25-year-old ruckman from SA. Could he play early next season? We'll talk about that. And to him shortly, it is Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Hey, Joey, you know that awesome in-ground trampoline I built for my kids?
Yes. The one you put too close to the patio, so if they fell off, they'd hit their heads on the concrete.
Yeah. It's Dad's fault. Dad basically did all that. Drove down to Brisbane. Oh. Give us a hand. Kidding. That was definitely my fault and putting my hand up.
We need to repeat it. You get your dad to drive down from Brisbane to help you with some tools to help you out with some handyman.
What a legend.
That is amazing.
It's good, isn't it? I liked it. We did finally get the trampoline in the right spot, but we did have to do some extra digging, it's fair to say. But my problem is, gang, that with all this rain we've had throughout the week and the fact that there's like a lot of clay soil in our backyard, it is a dead set swim pool at the moment. And this is a massive hole. It's like 2 meters by 1 meter and 1 meter deep, and it is flat out full of water. And I've got no idea how to get rid of it. What am I going to do?
I liked how you asked me in the ad break. Like, I'd know the answer. But my first thought is, well, it's summertime. Why not just keep it as full of water and the kids can swim in it?
Mate, it's a big issue.
A little dam that they can play in for the summer. And then once the summer's finished, then you can fill it up to put the trampoline in.
To the trout farm.
Where's the tramp?
Well, it's in the backyard, and it's water. The water basically level goes up to the trampoline mat.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So it's full of water. It's basically you jump on the trampoline, and it's like it's like jumping in a lake, sort of. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so and now it's going to attract, I'm not sure, some mozzies or something. So I got to pump it out or something. Thought I had this great idea, get this trampoline for the kids.
It's just giving you nothing but grief. And you're trying to do the right thing as a dad, and all you're giving is grief.
But you've got some issues.
Well, speaking of mozzies, I was also this is where we need some help. I've got a bit of a mosquito problem in my house, and it's doing my head in.
Not
I hear one mosquito buzz around at night.
Yep.
It drives me nuts. But I'm not getting one mosquito. I'm getting 5-6 mosquitoes in our house. I presume there's some water somewhere that is clogged up where the mosquitoes breed, because I got told they breed in water.
Yeah.
But I got like no idea where it is.
So you got a mosquito infestation in your house.
Problem. And I thought it was coming from the air conditioning. I thought maybe there was water pooling in the tray. So I spent $1,000 getting my air conditioning tray replaced and fixed, and then didn't work. There's
they come back.
Yeah. Oh, so it's really doing my head in. But you're no help to me. I'll ask you.
You had your malaria shots?
Oh, malaria shots.
Dingy fever?
God.
Look after young Noah. He doesn't want mozzies in his room.
Oh, I'm more worried about me. And then I'm not allowed to kill him with my hand because Aaron doesn't like it if I splat it on the wall.
Yeah.
So I got no idea. Not allowed to use spray because we've got the little man in the house.
You can get essential oil spray. It's good. I got one called Bugger Off years ago from Western Australia. But if you go to one of those hippie shops, you'll find something.
Hippie shops.
One of those I just got back from Byron Bay. I should have gone.
Should have. Like lavender and, you know, some sort of bergamot.
Okay. A hippie shop. Aaron, if you're listening, we need to go to a hippie shop and get some stuff for the mosquitoes.
I've always wondered about this because I had this problem last week. We had a big dirty huntsman. We got high ceilings, right? Super high ceilings, and this big, massive dirty huntsman was up there. And my wife, Jane, says, you got to get rid of that, but you're not allowed to use like the Mortein spray.
No.
Like, so I normally just grab the can and go crazy, right? Just get rid of it. But because we've got little Nashies, a few months old, like, you're not allowed to use that spray, and you're not allowed to splat it all over the room.
That's same as Aaron, yeah.
And
so
you're not,
you do?
And you're not allowed to let it out of your eyesight. So if you go with it at with a broom or something, it just hides
it's
under
the ground, and then it goes under the bed, then guess what?
Trouble.
Yeah.
So what am I meant to do, Rosie? How do you kill the spider without splatting it over the wall or losing it under the bed?
Vac it up. Get a new vacuum cleaner.
Vac it up.
And that's not a bad idea. Yeah, get the vacuum cleaner.
Courageous Joey, who hides in his room when he gets the handyman around. Imagine trying to open the vacuum cleaner, not knowing whether it's dead or alive.
No, that's why you don't. You get a new vacuum cleaner. You leave it on the side of the road in hard rubbish. Get a new vacuum cleaner. Well worth the $90 to $200, depending on what vacuum you want.
I had a Steve Irwin moment actually in Byron Bay when we stayed at our villa. On the very first day, there was this like lizard that came crawling up, but it was a big one. I don't know if in New South Wales, they're these massive
cat-sized?
The frill, like these frill neck lizards.
Scared of a gecko.
And you should have seen me as like a Steve Irwin moment with the broom trying to usher it back out under the door. But I was actually pretty proud of myself.
A friendly gecko.
No, it was a big lizard. Yeah. They're scary looking. It started running at us.
No.
But I got it back outside and I was pretty happy.
All right, we need some help. I think we'll create a segment. We'll get people to ring in and tell us how to fix all our
sort your life out.
Yeah, problems.
Hire a hubby. We should call someone from Hire a Hubby. I use them. I used Hire a Hubby once.
And that's why you went in the room when they came around. Hey, we're going to speak to Darcy Fort. So the Cats need a ruckman, Joey, and they've grabbed this guy, 25-26, formerly Geelong Falcon, been playing very good footy in the Sandville. It is a great story of persistence, and I just wonder whether he's going to be ready to play from early next season. We'll ask him. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna coming up, the Cats' next big man, Darcy Fort on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. That's us, Jay Clark and Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Of course, the AFL draft, Joey, happened over the past 2 days. And I love these sorts of stories. The stories of persistence where guys like Sam Rowe, play some senior footy and get their chance after missing out earlier. And we are thrilled to be talking to Geelong's newest big man, Darcy Fort. Good morning to you, Darcy.
Morning, boys. How's it going?
We're going well, mate. Thanks so much for joining us, mate. You were originally available to be drafted in, 2012? So it's been a lot of persistence and determination from yourself. You had an outstanding year in the Sandville for Central Districts this season. What was it like hearing your name called out yesterday, pick 66 to the Cats?
It was amazing for me. My family's all from Geelong and living in Geelong, so it's an unreal feeling to get a chance to play AFL, and even better that I get to go home and do it.
Did you have any idea, Darcy? Did you know the Cats were interested?
Just a little bit there, but look, it's one of those things where you never know until your name gets called out, unfortunately. So, yeah, I was absolutely ecstatic.
Did you ever give up on your dream, Darcy? Did you think it might not happen, or were you always in the back of your mind thinking, no, if I just keep chipping away, that this could become a reality?
Yeah, it's always in the back of your mind, but when you're doing it, you just got to focus on the things you can control, and that's just going training and playing good footy, and that's all I've been trying to focus on the last 6 years.
Darcy, what was the difference for you this year at Central? You obviously had a fantastic year against the big blokes over there. What did you do anything differently, or what was your focus this year?
I'm not really doing anything differently, but just more progression of just getting bigger again, getting stronger, getting more fit, and just a natural progression in my game. Just been able to go forward and take more marks and kick more goals, and just been able to perform more consistently week to week. It's been a big thing for me.
And there's an opportunity for you at Geelong, isn't there? Because Joey, Reece Stanley and Zach Smith are in and out of the team. So would you think someone like Darcy is a perfect pickup for the Cats?
Well, I think so. And that's obviously why they've taken Darcy. They haven't quite been sold on what Reece Stanley and Zach Smith have provided for the team just yet. And Darcy, it must be pretty exciting for you to think that you could potentially be playing in the ruck for the Cats and just trying to palm the ball down. How are you going to decide between Joel Selwood, yep, Paddy Dangerfield and Gary Ablett if they all say to you, hey, Darcy, tap the ball to me? Who are you going to choose? Who are you going to hit the ball to?
Oh, to be honest, I haven't thought about it at all. But, yeah.
Have a think about it now. Which would you palm down to?
Captain. Oh, look, I'd probably put it in between the three of them.
And the Cats, mate. So have you followed them your whole life? I mean, that part of it is clearly a dream come true.
I'm actually a Brisbane supporter, so I used to hate the Cats living in Geelong. But, yeah, I think I might be able to stomach them now.
You hate it? Why'd you hate the Cats? You're in the backyard.
Being a Brisbane supporter in Geelong, copped a fair bit of stick from everyone when we weren't doing too well. But yeah, it's fair to say they're my favourite club now.
Absolutely. So why Brisbane, though? Why were you a Brisbane supporter living in Geelong?
Well, we used to live up there when I was a bit younger in the glory days, and Mum used to be a Fitzroy supporter. So, everyone jumped on when we were up there, and it was a good time for all of us.
And what's the story for the next couple of days, Darcy? So you obviously live in Adelaide. Have you got to get things sorted to move to Geelong? How quickly does that happen?
Be by the end of the weekend, really. Yeah, just pack up today and look to get out of here in the next couple of days.
You've got to sort things out pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
And the impact over the next few months, mate, what's the plan with pre-season? Being, 25, you'd be pretty keen to hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. It's better that, being a bit more mature, I'm going to have a bigger workload than those first-year guys, and that's everything fine. I'm just ready to head down, bum up, and work as hard as I can and try and get a game, yeah.
What's it like, Joey, when you get the draftees, they come to the club, they're probably all a little bit nervous. You sort of go out of your way as an experienced guy to sort of make Darcy, et cetera, feel welcome?
Yeah, absolutely you do. It's always exciting for the club because they're getting picked for a reason. The club and the recruiters think that these people can add to the football team, and that's why they're there, and that's going to be really important for the players that have just got drafted, to realise that they are there to add value to the team, and all the teammates are really receptive. They want these players to succeed because ultimately everyone wants their teams to get better. So it's very exciting, Darcy. Just put your head down, bum up, you work hard, earn the respect, and the rest will take care of itself, mate. But congratulations, because we love these stories, Jay, the guys that have waited 4, 5, 6 years in drafts to get their opportunity, and hopefully, fingers crossed, they can make the most of it.
And Darcy, we were talking before about the spider problem and mosquito infestation at Joey's house. How do you get rid of a spider if you don't want to splat it against the wall or use the toxic bug spray? What's your approach?
I don't know, going with your hands, I reckon.
Wrap up a newspaper and go whack. Hey, thanks for joining us, Darcy. You're a great story, persistence, mate. Absolutely all the best at the Cats next year.
Thanks very much for that.
Darcy Fort, 204 centimetres, I think, Joey. Absolutely door open for him to play very early next season. And a great effort by him. Hey, we've got our Give Me a Spell coming up. We want to finish with a bang, Joey, don't we? So I'm looking forward to a big one for you. Got to Give Me a Spell and Dead Set Legend of the Week. And don't forget to vote out there, people. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, and Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Rosie, I tell you what, this is our last show for the year, and thanks so much for putting up with us, because it's fair to say throughout the season, Joey, we've had our moments, haven't we? We've come along nicely, but
We've had some rusty patches. Don't worry about that. Lucky we've had Rosie to steer the ship for us at times.
I've enjoyed working with some developing talent, I think is what you call it in the biz, because I get to work with some full-on professionals every day, and Eddie McGuire and Luke Darcy. Yep. And
how does Jay compare to Eddie in regards, to their sort of...
Don't ask me.
Promising. I got some. We're emerging talents in the radio scene.
Very much enjoyed this year, but one of the things that we have to, you're very good at sport. You do love your music.
Yes.
But there are some bands that you're still not quite sure.
Yep.
how to pronounce them properly. This is one. Oh, hang on. I don't know how to panel either. Here we go.
Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen.
You're talking yourself out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
We learned that you can do a Russian accent, Joey.
Oh, yeah.
In the morning, we didn't have any beer in the pub. The Australians drank all our beer.
Shocking.
I don't know why. You did a Nadal impersonation.
He does like to put his water bottles in the same spot. That's the worst Rafael Nadal impression you've
ever. It wasn't great.
We learnt new words from you, Joey. This is from your heritage.
Sugo.
Mm-hmm.
You like that one.
Yep, that was good.
Sugo. That's the sauce you make with the pasta.
We learned that you can also commentate soccer, Joey. Oh.
Australia defeat France!
But somebody did a remix back in the office, because when you were talking from Caulfield Racecourse, when you're doing the big intro, there's a little bit of a...
issue.
That was good.
Race. Yep. Here we go. Caulfield.
Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. We are at the Caulfield Racecourse.
It did turn into a rave course. Yeah. You had a big day at Caulfield one of those days, didn't you? It turned into a bit of a rave course at the end of it.
Yeah, stuffed up plenty of things this year, it's fair to say, Rosie.
Well done.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Joey, before we get to Give Me a Spell, what do you think about the idea of having a Tassie team? I notice the AFL CEOs have discussed it seriously this week with the AFL Big Cheese, Gil McLaughlin. Do you think, you know, the AFL should go there, or do they just keep persisting with Gold Coast?
Oh, no, I think we should have a team in Tassie. But I'm still open to which is the best way to do it, whether you just completely relocate the Gold Coast team to Tasmania, whether one of these Melbourne teams, maybe like we're seeing the Kangaroos, just have more of a representation in Tasmania and almost become a sort of two-state team.
So you want it to keep it at 18 teams?
I think the 18 teams is here to stay, because the TV rights and everything that goes with it is pretty important. I can see pros and cons for both. I know what the AFL are trying to do with the Gold Coast and trying to appeal to a new audience, a new market, because they feel that, you know, Tassie is already a football state, but I would like to see Tasmania have its own team.
If the AFL is going to plough $20 million a year into an AFL club, and you need about $40 million a year, I think, to run an AFL club, why not do it down there?
Exactly right. Just get the same money. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think it should be a real conversation. Like, if we are still in the same position with Gold Coast in 4 years' time, you know, and it's just seriously not working, then I'd be open. I mean, it would be an embarrassing backflip from the AFL, but I think if the talent and the support is there, and there is a question mark over the financial viability of a team in Tassie. I get that. It's potentially going to be small crowds, etc. They can't be any smaller than the Gold Coast.
No, exactly right. But I'm a bit more pragmatic. I understand. I hear Tony Cochran, who's been very vocal on this. Gold Coast are only 8 years into a franchise. It took the Sydney Swans really the best part of 20, 30 years to succeed up in Sydney. The Brisbane Lions took a long time, and they were lucky they probably had a core group of players with Voss and Black and Lappin that all came through together to have some success, which probably fast-tracked the Brisbane Lions' struggle. It does take a long time with expansion, though. We can't expect in the space of 10 years to have a team that's viable and got massive growth and audiences. We've got to be patient, but at the same time, I do feel that we have neglected Tasmania a little bit. Great to see, though, two Launceston kids get drafted top 10. That's great for Tasmanian football.
And that has been an issue with the pathway system. I think Nick Riewoldt, Chris Fagan's been involved in trying to improve the young talent structures that happens down there and the competitions, etc. Hey, after this, Joey, we got our Give Me a Spell and Dead Set Legend. The last of the year, it's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Jay Clark and Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Our favourite segment of the week, Joey, and our last one for the year. I'm saying give me a spell to the professional golfers who, like, crack the sads when a golf spectator happens to, I don't know, burp or make the smallest bit of noise that might put them off their shot, Joey. Give me a spell. You guys have played at the highest level with all sorts of noise and distractions. Why the golfers, and I'm going to put the tennis players in this as well, why they get so put off by the smallest bit of noise? I was out there at the World Cup of Golf on Thursday. There's so many times I was, like, upset with fans for, like, moving in the background. Give me a spell, golfers.
Don't be so precious.
How much better would golf be if there was some atmosphere? Wouldn't that
noise.
Be nice, Joey?
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Give me a spell.
Fair enough.
Voting day today for the state election, very important. You've got till 6 o'clock. Go to your local area if you haven't done it already. But the thing I like the most, sausages. Yep. You've got to have a sausage sizzle on voting day. My local primary school, St Kilda Park Primary School, didn't have any when I went past at 8:15 this morning. Not good enough.
That is not good enough. Have Australian. To have a sausage sizzle. Come on.
The smell.
Mm. Hey, look, we're counting down. It's been a great year, but we're going to finish with our Dead Set Legend of the Year.
Who's that?
Jay.
Yep.
And we have to
Dead
give
Set
it.
Legend of the Week.
Yeah.
It's now Dead Set of the Year. Very good. And Rosie, it is to you. Because as we said, Jay stole my thunder. You've kept this ship afloat at times throughout our first year. I like your polite way of saying developing media talent, but you've been a star.
Yes.
You've kept us afloat. You've kept us going. Yep. You've been our spiritual leader.
Yep.
So thank you. You are our Dead Set Legend of the Year,
yep.
as well as our producer, Ryan Warren. Yes. Rabsy, you're a star, mate. Look forward to working with you again next year. Looking forward to a few beers this afternoon and a few stories. Ethan as well for his work with the social media team. Thanks to everyone.
We've enjoyed it.
We'll be back next year. This has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We hope you enjoyed the Triple M Dead Set Legends. Catch them Saturday mornings from 10 on Triple M. And if you miss the show, catch up with Just a Tap on the Triple M app. Brought to you by Petters Weight Matrix. See petters.com.au.